We are going to get started. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Lorraine Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And this is our HR affinity group. I got confused, our human resources affinity group. I had said to Jeff, we had 11 people who had registered. And hi, Deirdre, I'm glad that you all are here. We're going to start. I know that Jeff had thought, as he's the chair, that we would talk about, I'm handing it to you.
Return to work.
So return to work.
You know, everyone's thinking about it, talking about it, whether it's the COO affinity group or the CEO, COO check-in chats or the CFO, like anyone I talk to about anything, it's about return to work. So I think it's a very, very
hot topic,
topical issue right now. And for us in Michigan, with the increase in cases, we're lucky that we've sort of backburnered this conversation, because when the CDC is telling our governor to shut the state down, it doesn't seem like the right time for us to roll out our return to work plan. But I guess I think it would be interesting to hear what people around the country are doing, and any ideas to sort of coordinate from what my perspective is a logistical challenge to figure out schedules and making sure that there's distance and masks and office sharing and all of those issues. Vaccines.
Yep.
Wish I could help, but we are an essential business, so we have been open. Of course, at the beginning, we started out with an alternate schedule as far as working from home, alternating 2 days in, 2 days out for most people, except for the admin staff. Most of us have our own offices, so that wasn't an issue. Those that did share an office, we did have to relocate and made some of the smaller conference rooms into offices. We put up plexiglass at our front reception desk all the way around to protect our receptionists. We have floor stickers. We have cleaning charts. So we have three different buildings, and we have where those spaces or highly touched items are cleaned every 2 hours. So there's a little sign-off sheet like you see at the restroom.
Every 2 hours? Store.
Well, that was what the CDC was recommending. Now they've kind of changed it, so I'm looking forward to getting rid of it, because I am on that list. I have to clean. But it's really very easy.
Why is yours a essential service and everyone else's must be essential services too, right? Like, how come you stayed open when so many of these other agencies, which are essential services, didn't? Was that something in Virginia?
I don't know. I mean, we were considered an essential business. Uh-huh. You know, we provided social services. You know, we have our counseling department, which typically our counseling department really went mostly to help telehealth. Uh-huh. Because most of our counselors are over 65, and a lot of our patients are seniors, so that went to telehealth. But our public guardianship program, I mean, we're guardians, we had to continue that. We're care managers, we had to continue that. Our home care department serving seniors, they needed us in the homes to continue to provide that care. Mm-hmm. So I can't speak for everybody else and what their programs look like.
Right.
But we, you know, and we do health screenings every day. You have to take your temperature and answer some questions and things of that nature. We did get masks, you know, and we did get the KN95 masks. So that if you do have to meet in groups of three or more, you have to wear the KN95 mask versus the regular medical surgical mask.
Right.
We do have the mask mandate. Anytime you're out of your office in a common area, you have to wear a mask. What else do we do? We have a lot of policies and procedures, and now we're getting a lot of demand from DMAS for our public guardianship program to implement a vaccine policy or procedure, which we're not ready to do. I mean, we have opened that up. since we were essential business, it was available to all of our employees. And most employees have, most of the in-house employees have gotten it. There's still a little bit of resistance from our home care aides. So we're working on incentives and things like that to get them, you know, to help them overcome those barriers to get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just about constant communication, I think.
Yeah. Well, you're a step ahead of the game, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of resources out there too. And I think some of them came from you guys as far as like, there's a checklist, a reopening from a checklist.
Yeah.
That was very handy. I don't know. Did you guys develop a response plan? Like where you had to identify what category each of you.
A checklist from SHRM or from somewhere else?
I got one from SHRM, but my CEO got one. I want to say it was from NJHSA.
It might have been from Atlanta, from that. I don't know. I'll look on the resource library and see what I can find for you all.
Yeah. And then
in the chat if I can find it.
Okay. And then I know Richmond made us come up with, we had to have a response plan. Where we had to kind of categorize each of our departments or each employee, which I kind of grouped most of us in certain criteria or certain groups based upon tasks, and identified whether they were high exposure, medium risk, low risk, and then you had to develop a procedure for each of those and kind of outline what we're doing to help keep everybody safe. We did also change our air control. So it was bringing more air from the outside rather than the ends, just recirculating the inside air. And then we did the special filters. I think they're MERV 13 filters.
Mm-hmm.
I got that number, if I have that number right, it's MERV something.
I don't know.
Hi, Sabina. We're just talking about returning to work. Diana, Jen, hi, welcome.
Hi, my apologies. I was having a hard time getting in.
Really?
Just because I was using probably an older Zoom.
Oh.
I see from last time. So.
Okay, yeah, I think this potentially could be what you're talking about. I'm going to try to put it into the chat here. I think. Where are you calling in from, Sabina?
House. I tried the phone. Just but
Dallas? No. Dallas? Is that what you said? What agency?
No, she's in Detroit with me.
Oh, Detroit. Okay. Because I think that we have some new people. Jean, have you been here before? Can you hear us?
I have been here before.
Okay, great. I'm glad you can hear us. I wasn't sure in the beginning. And is anyone else new to this? Okay, good. So we're talking about returning to work.
Deirdre, did you find the SHRM checklist to be helpful?
Yeah, I did. I just think, you know, like we're such a small agency and, you know what I mean? And it's definitely a lot bigger, multi-location kind of a thing. So, I mean, yeah, it's helpful. I can narrow it down. We're just really trying to figure this out because we do have such a small agency where I'm actually going person by person and talking to them about their concerns and like what, you know, to see like what, because we were looking at starting to come back the 1st of June. But I think it looks like we're going to have one out of the 11 of us that's not going to get vaccinated. And like that one person is like throwing everybody else off.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at doing the hybrid, like everybody can work at home 2 days, you know, and then we can like switch offices for the people that don't have them. So the open air office cubicle people will be in an office, like, you know, so I don't know. We're just trying to kind of figure this all out. And what's best. because we're not even approaching the bringing the clients in yet. This would just be to get employees back.
The 10 who are vaccinated, are they not willing to work with the 11th who's not vaccinated?
Well, not everybody knows that there's somebody that's not vaccinated. And the people, some of the people that know are not willing.
So that's weird. Some know, some don't know.
Yeah. Right.
That's hard.
Yeah. Depends on who's, you know, who chats with who on the side, really, you know.
I got these for everybody and they can hang them on their door. So
that's like
kind of calling you out a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, it is.
But it also just, if somebody's coming, I think it makes people feel, it reassures people too, if they're coming in your office and knowing that you've been vaccinated. I mean, we still require the masks, but it is something a little extra.
Did you create those?
Morgan in our development department, she did. She took the logo offline somewhere and then just created them.
It's such a sticky wicket though, right? Like somebody who doesn't want to be vaccinated could very easily make some sort of workplace argument. Like, this is just such a fraught topic, right? And I think you're probably within your rights to say you can't come back to the office until you're vaccinated, right? So that in Cincinnati anyway, that one person would have to stay out. And the people who are vaccinated are within their rights to call OSHA and say, my employer created an unsafe working environment by allowing people who are not vaccinated. It's just, it's very, very complicated.
It is. I don't know what to do.
I don't think you can require somebody to stay home if they haven't been vaccinated, because the vaccination, you can't require it.
So I think you can. Yeah, legally speaking, you can require the vaccine.
Yeah, you can.
But people are allowed to have like strongly held religious belief exemptions, medical exemptions. But I think the danger in not mandating it is, on the other side, somebody could bring a claim saying that you're creating an unsafe work environment by allowing somebody in who's not vaccinated. And of course, like, hopefully we're not suing our employees and they're not suing us. But the letter of the law, I mean, it's definitely not clear what to do. And then you have people who are vaccine hesitant, who in their own minds, for good reason, don't want to. And are we creating an unsafe work environment for them?
One of the things that we've talked about, it's nothing is set in stone. It's like everybody else that's struggling with this is, we have talked about people who have elected not to get the vaccine, to not have them come into the office. And that may create its own problems, right? Because if you have meetings, are you going to do a special meeting because that one person doesn't come in and you're going to Zoom with them and everybody else is going to be in a conference room? But it goes back to Jeff's comments about, you know, there's risk no matter what we do. For this entire situation. I mean, we've had the part of the problem for us is some of the people who have been hesitant to do it have then heard about some of the backlash some people have had in getting the vaccines, which just solidifies more their reasoning not to get it, right? And it doesn't help because they talk to each other and go back and forth. So yeah, we're struggling with that too. We do have a new vent system in our place as well, which I think is going to help for sure with air circulation. Even though we're still officially closed, we've had for several months all the restrictions of, you know, the signs of which way you walk in and which way you exit, and the masks we're still requiring, even though people have gotten vaccinated, we're still requiring people to wear masks in the office and maintain the 6-foot distancing. We had a we actually facilitated a vaccination clinic a couple of weeks ago. And we ended up between clients and staff, we got several more staff signed up, and we distributed 257 vaccines that day. And so it was really a successful program. We have made ourselves available to the city of Denver again if they have the need, because the area we live in or we work in, which is Southeast Denver. But it was pretty successful, and we actually got a lot of clients to come in because we coordinated how to pick them up. But a lot of our staff did. We probably have 85% of the staff now that is vaccinated. I like the idea. I think Deidre, you had it where you were talking one-on-one to people about their concerns. And I think that's a really good idea because, you know, we're really trying to figure that out. I mean, I send all kinds of communication, but, you know, some people are just very fearful of it. We're looking at the hybrid as well. I think that's the only way probably any of us are going to be able to go. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be 100% out or 100% in going forward in the work sites for any of us. So then you get creative to compound our problem is there's an assessment of the facilities and whether or not we're going to make some of the work areas different, like the conference rooms, make it look different, remanufacture that. And then we have one location we're closing down. And so those people have to go somewhere. And are they going to come into this building? Where are we going to put them if they come into this building? And so we've kind of complicated our own situation in addition to just the COVID, you know, situation.
You know, in your agencies, are people who are in positions of leadership, are they getting their vaccines?
Yeah, ours are. Ours did. Yeah.
Because that's probably something important if you are encouraging everyone to get vaccines. But it is a sticky wicket, as Jeff said.
The other thing that I've heard other organizations doing, and our community in Detroit did the same, it's like trying to bring different voices to that conversation. So rather than having the highly paid CEO tell everyone it's important to get vaccinated, we've had people from the health department come in. We've had other like community advocates, community organizers, because I think for people who are vaccine hesitant, sometimes you just need to hear it from a different source.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. We did that with our own staff. We actually videotaped one of our staff who's in her 70s that got the vaccine. We videoed somebody who actually got COVID and got the vaccine. So she's talking. And then we have one that's in her mid 40s that works with school systems. And so so we've used them as different, you know, presenters. So, you know, for people would see that all facets of individuals have gotten the COVID and what the outcomes were. We've done that as well. I don't know that it's helped, but we've done it.
What have you been doing in Atlanta, Laura?
Well, we are strongly encouraging people to be vaccinated. Of our staff, I would say 30 to 35% have disclosed that they've been vaccinated. Majority of our leadership have been vaccinated, including myself. Right now, it's just really trying to find ways to encourage and keep staff engaged in the process. When it first started, it was easy to talk about because the vaccinations just started. you know, the initiative was just to continue to encourage. And so there was a flow of people responding to that encouragement. Our CEO had asked in all of our staff meetings that staff respond to HR, let HR know. And if you have a card, present that to HR. So we did have a good amount at the beginning of staff open to disclosing and providing their vaccination cards. Now it's stopped. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I feel like it's going to be in this place of where it's just kind of stalled, especially with the J&J vaccination reports that are coming out. But what we are still wanting to do, and I've been discussing this with leadership, is to further the initiative. And I think Jean had mentioned that she had videotapes or employees who were sharing videotapes to share their stories of vaccinations. And that's something that we want to move forward with as a part of our initiative. Staff are sharing their stories. Yes, it's important that leadership has been vaccinated, but as Jeff was saying, no, who wants to hear about the CEO being vaccinated? We know they've done. We want to hear about everyone else. And so I'm hoping that this initiative, where people will come forward and want to share their stories and talk about their stories. But behind that also, we want to, and I think Deborah, who had shown the sticker of I was vaccinated for COVID on the door. Yeah. Yes, we are looking at pins or stickers that those who have come forward and disclosed or provided a confirmation of their vaccination, that they could wear the sticker. So there's that uncomfortable moment of trying to disclose who's vaccinated or not. They got a pin or a sticker that shows they've been vaccinated. So we're dealing with that. The office never fully closed, or the office closed. We were still working, but now we're more so in a hybrid type of scenario. Majority of people, I'm in the office now. My door is closed, so that's why you see me without my mask. But we have staff that come into the office for essential purposes. But the CEO is now trying to encourage more people to come into the office, especially those who've been vaccinated. So it is a very touch and go situation. I mean, again, I know everybody's trying to tiptoe around all of the legalities surrounding vaccination. So I think that's what we're all trying to do too, just trying to
tiptoe around it.
The other thing about legalities, and again, like, I guess a guy like me, it thinks about the worst case scenario a lot. It's what I get paid to do. If we are gathering information about who's vaccinated, who isn't vaccinated, how can the employee argue that we've used that information against them? So whether it's promotion or demotion, hiring, firing, like, and again, you can sue for anything. And a lot of this stuff would be without grounds, but it just makes me nervous that I know employee A has been vaccinated, employee B hasn't been vaccinated. What happens when it's time for a corrective action for employee B? It just, in this business, right, in HR land, sometimes you don't want information, right? You'd prefer not to know.
Huh. Is that how other people feel in HR land?
I just want to go back to what Jeff was saying. Yes, I'm nervous about the mandating part of it, because the mandation, when you think about it across the board, it's not just dealing with those who are working with you presently and dealing with their vaccination or non-vaccination, but it's the new hires. Or releasing those people who haven't been vaccinated. Legal, I mean, there's some legal issues around that in the mandating part.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to say, Diana?
Well, you know, I have not been involved in any conversations about mandating. I think, you know, we're not ready to be back in the office. And so we haven't quite gotten that far. In fact, we've just really started the conversation about what it's going to look like when we are back in the office. I'm picturing it as more of a hybrid workplace that we're going to do. You know, the working from home, the cat is essentially out of the bag. And so to go back to our practice of permitting staff to work at home one day a week is, I think, what is now a bygone era. And so I think we're looking at hybrid. We're kind of having conversations about, you know, what does that look like? But I think what we've really kind of have decided is that it needs to be a gradual process. Mm-hmm. So as we think about now, we have working parents with young children who, you know, school is ending and, you know, daycare availability is more limited now as well. And, you know, so how can you accommodate, you know, parents, you know, coming back to work? And so, I mean, it's just so much.
You know, Diana, you said something that I don't know if everyone heard, but you were on the cutting edge, it sounds like, in Minneapolis, letting people work from home one day a week before the pandemic, right? Not a lot of agencies did that, I don't think.
Oh, okay. You know, so, well, that's great to hear. Thank you, Lisa. You know, I think we may have some staff that want to continue working from home full time. And, you know, I know the agency is very concerned about the culture of the organization.
Right.
We have employees that, you know, have high levels of engagement. And, you know, the team is really essential to the success of employees. And so, you know, what that may look like, you know, for when we make our final decision, if there's going to be much turnover, I'm hoping not, mm-hmm. that we can make it work for everyone. But I did develop a list of questions for our executive team to consider as they're processing, you know, what it's going to look like. And supervisors did stay interviews with their staff in February. And part of that conversation was about, you know, how do you see the future of your work back in the office? You know, what does that look like? So we're seeking feedback. We're going to be having a meeting with the supervisors and managers in a couple of weeks to learn more about those conversations. And I think kind of once we've done that, we'll be ready to move forward with
something,
you know, creating some guidelines, you know, some practices. You know, I guess I tend to support the approach of having everyone come into the office at least one day a week, and they're all there on the same day. So this is the day for socialization. This is the day we would have our meetings. But, you know, we'll see. And we think too that it's going to be an evolving practice. You know, what we may start out doing may change as well, depending on how it progresses. So,
well, we were talking too about having one day a week everybody comes in and this is when we have our meeting, and that's what everybody flipped out on, was getting all together in the one conference room that we usually do and all being in one room together. And that's what, like, really, I'm like, yeah, that's not gonna fly.
Yeah.
So we don't, you know, and so now I don't know, does anybody else have like a time frame that they're thinking to get this going? Because we were thinking the 1st of June, but I just don't think we're going to be ready.
We're talking about September. And we said that a few months ago. We haven't really talked much more about it recently, but really we haven't had any discussions to change the timeline from September. And now with all these new strains coming out, it's even causing more concern. And like somebody said earlier, we haven't even talked about bringing clients back in.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah, we're in the same boat with Jean.
As far as group meetings, we still have our meeting, like all of our teams have their weekly meetings, but of course those are done via Zoom or through Teams. We had through a technology grant, we were able to purchase webcams for most of our employees. So all of the meetings are held that way. Seems to be the norm these days, mm-hmm. but I think, yeah, we're still avoiding any large crowds or gatherings.
Jen, what were you going to say? I think that we cut you off.
No, I was just saying we're similarly situated with Jean. We've thrown out the idea of the fall, September, but we've done no follow-up and no real conversation about it. Folks are concerned about when a booster would be needed. We probably have about 75% of our staff vaccinated at this point.
That's good.
And so, which is great. People have been really interested and we were quick to be able to get it. But with the potential need for boosters and not knowing what that timing would look like and all the new variants coming out, there's a lot of concern about coming back in. And I think folks, as you guys are talking about, for sure, there's an interest in a hybrid schedule, and we have not worked out the mechanics of what that would need to really look like. And we haven't even thought about bringing clients back in. So part of you. So there's just a lot to be done, which sounds like we're not alone in this conundrum.
We started bringing clients back in a very limited way, and we're also doing some home visits in a very limited way. I would say that we've started to get our head around the logistics, but the spike in Michigan has made us reconsider. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people have been going in, probably of our 120 employees on any given day, you might find 6 or 8 people in the building. But we did a survey and we found that probably 25 or so want to be in the building. And we have to figure out how to accommodate them, whether it's rotating schedules or office sharing or the lack of office sharing, however we're going to set that up.
Yeah, our staff are still making home visits, those who were before for the most part. Yeah, our hospice program is still making visits, our home care program is still doing all of that. But clinicians are, it's almost not even worth mentioning, they're not really seeing clients in the office. It's such a random situation that would allow them that to happen. Our specialized employment team meets with folks at their job site in full PPE. When the weather was warmer in the summer and into the fall, they would meet with them outdoors. And then when it was colder in the winter, they didn't. And now that it's starting to get spring-like here, they'll probably resume some of that as well. We do have a handful that go into the office every day. I mean, probably in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 people, and they attest every day that they're going to be able to go in and that they don't have any of the COVID symptoms. And we're concerned about how cleaning would work. I mean, I think, was it Teresa who was mentioning about the air vents and just all, like, we haven't even considered what that would look like just yet. We have control over some of our buildings. We don't have control over all of our buildings. So I don't know what the landlord would be doing for tenants with that. And so we'd have to consider all of that too. Staff aren't pushing to come back to work for us. They're really happy to be at home.
No staff want to go back to work.
I know.
I'm in all these groups and it's just so amazing how a year ago, no one would have thought of this,
Never.
That we could do anything from home the way that we're doing it. Now everyone's thinking, why go back to work?
Right.
I think Laura said something about the culture, creating the culture. No, I think it was Diana. It's true. It's changing everything about the way that you work, about what your culture is.
And that's where, so we've had some conversations about putting some parameters into place for that. So assuming people stay home, what does accountability look like? When are people available? I just literally, as we were coming back here, I had to go pick up some Chromebook for my 2 boys who are supposed to go back to school next week. So I'm in the car, I'm driving, I'm on phone calls. Like, I'm still working-ish. But I'm not sitting at my desk right then and there, and so is that acceptable? Is that not, like, if I don't pick up, so it's just kind of figuring out what the rules of the road are for communication. We use Microsoft Teams exclusively and people know when we're available on that 20. So I get phone calls all day long. First thing in the morning, if I turn my laptop on just to do my own personal work, it shows that I'm available unless I show that I'm not. So phone calls start and it goes into the evening because you don't have those boundaries. So we've talked more about needing to put some of that into place to accommodate what a normal work world would look like when we've got people in the office and working from home.
Mm-hmm. I think then that's so critical because up until this point, I don't think we've been working from home. I think we've been working at home during a mm-hmm. catastrophe. And I think that, I mean, I'll speak for Detroit, like we're cutting everyone a lot of slack. Mm-hmm. And at some point we're no longer going to be working at home during a catastrophe. We're going to be working right. remotely. And what does the accountability look like? And how do we agree on like common business hours? And once, not that the world revolves around school age kids, but for many people it does. Once schools are fully yeah. back open.
Yeah.
Is our expectation that everyone is available from 8:30 to 5 as if you were in the office? And if we're going to allow people to work remotely permanently, are there going to be some core in-person hours? So if you want to work at home 2 days a week, it's got to be Monday, Friday, and you have to be in the office Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 10 to 4 or whatever, mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. in-person meetings can happen. And then to me, that opens the door. Again, I'm a pessimist. So these like cultural challenges, because depending on the nature of your job, you may be able to work from home all the time and you may not be able to ever. And then are we going to be able to say, depending on your role and your responsibilities, we can treat you differently than your coworker?
Right.
So based on your role, you have to be in the office every day. And based on that person's role, they can be in the office never. Is that fair? And how do right. we convince people that it is fair? Like,
we struggle with that equity issue, right? Because it's basically some sort of leadership management, whatever you want to call it, that has the most amount of flexibility. I mean, frankly, I could sit at home all day long and do my job and be completely competent and get it done with no issue, right? But some of my staff, like people on my team who are responsible for keeping personnel files up to date or, you know, handling paper, they've got to be in the office. And so it just, there's an equity issue when we think about all of that. And so we really struggle with that. What does it say to the agency that all of your management can work from home and have utmost flexibility? Like I said, I just ran out to get some Chromebooks from the school site. Not all of our staff have that flexibility to be able to do that. So are they taking leave? Are they using their lunch hour? You know, how does that work? So really we just think about the equity component of that. And we haven't figured out what, like we don't know the answer to that. We just recognize that it's an issue, right? And so how do we address that?
And that's really the pandemic in miniature, right? Mm-hmm. Because high skilled, high compensated people have weathered the pandemic fine, and low skilled, low wage people have had significantly disproportionate outcomes. This idea of the K-shaped recovery. So it's yes. like, in some ways, I think that the high paid executive types, even though they can work from home all the time, they probably have an obligation not to.
Correct. Right?
Just so that perception is not reinforced.
Agreed.
Right. What's the behavior we want to model? So I also think that the opposite is true too. I was actually having a conversation with our CEO and we were talking about all of this. And I said, it's important for you though, if the new world is going to be hybrid, it's important for you to model that too. You know, you can't be in the office 24/7 because then I don't know that I feel comfortable saying, hey, you know, it's Tuesday, I'm going to work from home, or Tuesday is going to be my new work from home day. I might feel compelled to have to be in more because of that. So I think it's important that anyone in any position, certainly leadership and management, are modeling the behavior that we're looking for. So at some point, because it is a pandemic, people accept that my kids are running around the house, that, you know, I'm checking in on them, or they're, you know, yelling at me or whatever, but there's going to come a point to which that's not okay. And they're going to say, get it together. Like, where's your secure work site? Where, you know, where can you go that is quiet and that, you know, we can have conversations that don't include your, right. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I think you're right in that this is so different. If I ever needed to, we didn't have a culture of working from home before, but if I needed to work from home, I've got, you know, a repair person coming, or I've got whatever's going on. That was on an exception basis. And it was sort of, and it felt that way. Now it still feels like there's an exception to it. This isn't the norm. So what's the norm really going to feel like? And what are the rules for that? And how do we put that out so that it's fair for people and that it can work, that people are successful in it? You know, there's certain meetings that I would never want
to me, that's really critical. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. That's what I was going to say. There's certain meetings for me, I wouldn't want to be remote. Like we have certain team meetings. I'd want to be in the room for that. I think you miss, like if most of the people are in the room and I'm saying, well, Tuesday's my remote day and that's the day of the meeting, I'm going to miss out on so much if I'm just dialing into that meeting. Like there's so, like in terms of camaraderie or just body language and being able to read the room in a different way. I mean, you just miss out on that. Hey, do you have a quick second before or after the meeting begins? And I think those relationships are so crucial. And we are leaning heavily on the relationships we had already built pre-pandemic. And I know that for our staff that we've hired during the pandemic, they don't have those. They're sort of like, I didn't know you before. I only see this, you know, flat Stanley version of you. And I'm trying to figure out how to work with you that way, how to manage you, how to hold you accountable, how to understand what you're going through. So, you know, it's easier for those of us who have been in our organizations pre-pandemic to leverage those relationships.
Mm-hmm. My oldest just did his flat Stanley project. So it's very, very timely.
Yeah, flat Stanley travels, right?
What's happening in Baltimore? Where are you guys?
So we are in a couple different places. I know. And thank you for all the comments. I'm sorry that I was late getting to the meeting. In our couple of different places, we talked about a hybrid model. One where, of course, people would be in the office and some would be at home, but then we are struggling to figure out who's going to be at home and in the office when. And then we thought about breaking it up into job descriptions, but then of course we ran into the same equity problem that was mentioned. So then we thought about doing a pulse survey, which I think is where what we're leading towards, and asking people what are their thoughts they want to come in, because we've even found with, of course, hiring, people are asking for remote work, but our current staff don't want to come back into the office. And so because of that, people are thinking, if we put a hard date, which in the past we've been doing and we've been extending it, and they don't like that hard date, so they start looking for other jobs. So we don't want to lose employees, and then we're at a place where we're bringing in new people who are used to working remote and now don't want to be in the office at all. So we're in a weird space. We're putting together some questions. I don't know if anybody else has done a pulse survey already. And gotten results from that, but we welcome you.
There's a few on in our resource library, Pulse Survey.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry.
And one of the things we did a few years ago, we had a group home that was, you know, had to have staff 24/7. And we had some challenges with staff and their hours and their days and who wanted to do whatever, you know, their preferences were. And we really did have some challenges, and we tried to finesse it ourselves for a while. And then kind of the light bulb came on, and we just said, let's ask them and let them work it out. And I mean, it seems kind of simple at the, you know, now that you say it, but it took us a while to get there. But it actually worked extremely well. And we never had another problem with staff working the schedules, because they, first of all, put them together. And they would actually work with their coworkers to fill in when they couldn't make it, which helped, you know, it wasn't all the time, but it helped us a lot. And so I was just thinking that we might do that again within our own departments, is find out, first of all, what the manager knows about what the staff's feeling. And then when you've got a combination of some people want to come in, some people for us, they want to be here. They do not want to be at home. Others do want to be at home.
I think that's true everywhere. I don't think there's a workplace in America where monolithically everyone wants to be in the office or at home. It's just, it's very, very isolating. And for all the reasons that we've talked about here, every workplace has somebody who wants to be back in the office, if for no other reason than to get away from their kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so what I've been thinking is just have them as a work unit, whatever that work unit is made up of, when they work physically together, you know, and they're going to be sitting you know, 4 feet away from each other, maybe, and we're still probably going to keep the 6 foot, is have them come up with a plan that works for their work schedule and see if they themselves can't work out who's going to come in on Monday and Thursday, or, you know, or who isn't, and see if we can't just get them to help solve the problem rather than putting it on them, or, you know, coming down from the top and saying, this is how it's going to be. You know, you can't, you know, you can set some parameters of saying, look, we have to maintain distancing. All of you work in this, you know, 35 foot or area, and there's 8 of you, you know, how are you going to, what's going to work for you guys, given the workspace that we have? Because they're going to have to share some areas, most likely, when they, with the hybrid concept. But I think maybe just going back to the staff and putting some of that back on them may help us come up with some of the solution anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking even for me, while I wouldn't mind going back into the office a couple of days a week, I don't want to go back and everybody's back. So we're in that space as well, because we do have people sort of setting their own schedules. They have kids. But then going into the office means, okay, I'm going to see my whole hallway of people, and I don't want people in my office. And while the rule is, yes, keep your door closed, well, you're back in isolation and I might as well have been at home. So
Carl from Houston was talking about that yesterday. Yeah. Like, people have been going into the office throughout. Now that other people are coming into the office too, they're like, no, 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 this is my hallway. You don't understand. Yes. Like, you can't be here. Only I can be here.
We actually limit. We have always limited. We still do the temperature taking. We do the distancing. But we require people to sign in every day. And if we're loaded, if we're filled up, you can't come in. We had a couple cheat and they put their name on the other side of the building to come in. So we had to kind of sort of deal with that, but we did open it up recently because so many of the staff have gotten both of their vaccines. So we've opened it up on the two sides of the building a little bit more, but we do require people to sign up, or we ask them to leave.
But Amara said something different. I think what you were saying is that what's the point? If you go into the office and you shut your door, what difference does it make if you're in your office
I'm at
in
home,
the bedroom
right.
or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, some of that's about productivity tools and like what can you do in the office you can't do in your home office, whether that's two monitors or a fast printer or a scanner or whatever, which again, I think, you know, speaking to the haves and have nots, there are probably people for whom their home office, either before and or with whatever technology stipend they receive from their employer, like there's just stuff they cannot do at home.
Right.
Yeah. Are you all giving technology stipends? We've been trying to provide laptops for most employees.
So we gave laptops to everyone. And then I think we gave $50 in like April or May, and then maybe another $50 towards the end of the calendar year. And then we gave out a $500 per person. We called it like a COVID appreciation bonus.
For every employee?
Every employee, yeah. We've asked people to like let us know what they need. So some people have taken chairs out of their offices. Some people have taken a monitor home, which like makes me a little bit nervous to have our equipment, you know, strewn across 2 or 3 counties. But the reality is if that person comes back and is like, hey, I need a chair. Well, where's your chair? It's at my house. Okay, then go get it. Yeah. But like that's the least of my worries, that if we lose 2 chairs.
We did the same thing, monitors, keyboards, chairs. Probably that was it, right? Yeah.
So you know everyone who took what?
Ish.
So that,
I mean,
someone left your office.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
Not really.
Okay. If you're an auditor, I'm going to say absolutely without a doubt. If you're not an auditor.
I'm not.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, we tried to do it in an organized way. We did a survey, actually, to find out who's got what. Like, down to the level of, are your do you have a surge protector? Like, are you really being secure, you know, in terms of what you're doing? And we wanted to get a sense of who needed what. And of course, monitors were the overwhelming need, but some of it was chairs. So we bought some people some chairs as well, ergonomic, you know, because a lot of ergonomic issues come about. My desk that I work at was not made for me to work at 50 hours a week. It was made for me to like just kind of
do your bills,
you know, look at YouTube every now and then in the evening or do a couple, you know, things here and there. So you know, so people just have to make arrangements and realize what ergonomics, you know, what they need ergonomically when they're tied to a home desk or a home office.
We've done the same thing, and all of our employees either have a laptop or a tablet.
Yeah.
And that's made a huge difference. Fortunately, the new CEO that actually came in just a little 2 years ago, she was appalled at how few staff had laptops. And so we started purchasing them almost right away, which was a wonderful thing, because when COVID hit, you know, we had maybe handfuls still to purchase, but it worked out really well. And then of course the challenge was getting people trained on all the bells and whistles with Teams and OneNote and SharePoint and all of that, so, which we're still faced with challenges on that for sure.
Yeah, we were too. And Lisa, to answer your question about trying to get a laptop, certain agencies have never been able to work remotely or permanently from home. So this was very new. So the day that we closed, we had a lot of people who weren't working for a while because they were waiting on equipment. And even now we have laptops on back order. We recently ordered a ton, and let's say we got 30 out of the 200 we ordered.
Wow.
And so we have one IT department of maybe 10 or 12 people that cover 8 agencies. And so with everybody needing a laptop, that's really where our struggle has been coming from.
Right. And they're struggling without it.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
They are.
Tough. That's hard. Well, I don't think we solved anything, Jeff, but we had a good discussion.
You know, there's no way we were going to. So if anyone had the expectation that we would solve something, they're sorely, sorely mistaken.
Good takeaways.
The principal source of suffering in life is a gap in expectations, right? So if we didn't expect to solve anything, we're all pretty satisfied.
That's right.
But I think we did share some good ideas. And I think, you know, lost in some of this conversation is that every agency is different, on top of the fact that every city is different, every state is different. Some of us have financial resources that allow us to do things that other agencies can't do. The composition of our workforces might be very different. Our historical cultures might be very different, right? So in Denver or Atlanta, they've been working from home forever. And in DC, like, nobody's ever done that. So that's a challenge too.
Right.
But thanks everybody for showing up. The next meeting is August 3rd, 1 o'clock. I think the topic to be determined. And then I have to put in my plug for the network or I'll get fired by Lisa. Mm-hmm. So we have the conference next week. Something you said 1600 people are signed up, Lisa?
Over 1600 people. That's I hope great. You're part of them.
1601. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a great conference. Obviously we'd prefer to be in person in Dallas or Atlanta or Minneapolis or wherever we're supposed to go next year, but
Minneapolis.
It's Minneapolis next year.
Oh, I don't know. You guys didn't hear it from me.
Allegedly.
I forgot. That's supposed to be a secret.
Was it Dallas that got
scared? It was Dallas. Don't say anything. I forgot. That's I got to stop this recording.
Yeah, that's right. Just edit it out. But there's a lot of good content. And I'm really excited about, to speak for JFS Detroit, like a lot of people who wouldn't have flown to Dallas are going to get to enjoy the conference and participate in it. So I think that's one silver lining.
Yes, that's a big silver lining. So I'll look forward to seeing you all there. If you signed up, you're supposed to be getting your special link to your own, you know, conference platform where you get to design your own agenda and everything you want. If you don't get it by Friday, email us to let us know. Look in your junk mail too. Who knows? It could go in there as well.
And if anyone asks, Jen knows where all the keyboards are. And the conference is not in Minneapolis.
Yes, No one knows. Okay. Terrific, you guys. Hope to see you there. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.